Psalms 23, in a lot of places, you would probably only hear, maybe never from a pulpit unless you were there was a funeral going on, but you talk about a precious, precious psalm, and I think we'll be helped tonight. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Very familiar psalm. I think most all of our young people could quote Psalms 23 if you stopped and asked them to. I think it's important psalm to know, important psalm to memorize. And so let's be helped by it tonight. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, thank you for this series, and thank you for this particular psalm and the subject matter. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to be helped and Lord, I think prepared and fortified, dear God. Lord, that you would use the truth tonight to not only prepare us for what most all of us will probably have to face at some point. Lord, thank you that we don't have to face it alone. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you very much for standing. Very good. The phrase shadow of death, this might surprise you. It honestly surprised me. It's found 20 times in the Bible. It's mentioned 9 times in the book of Job. And by the way, that shouldn't surprise us because you know what? Job spent quite a bit of time under the shadow of death. And think about that. It's mentioned 4 times in the book of Psalms. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, by the way, that watched his country run over and taken into captivity, he mentions it twice. It's mentioned twice in the Gospels in the New Testament, the shadow of death. Now, think about that phrase, and let's let it kind of explain itself. We talked about the shadow of the Almighty, and I said if you're going to live in the shadow of the Almighty, then if you're going to be standing in someone's shadow, you have to be pretty close to a person to stand in their shadow. And so what does this mean then in connection with death? The shadow of death is a time and or a place where death is so close that it casts a shadow over an individual or it casts a shadow over a family. Now stop and think about that. Many times, I think most of you in here probably could stand and give testimony to the fact that you have what the world would call a near-death experience where, you know, remember this, folks, it's not talking about death in this chapter. It's talking about the shadow of death. And, you know, many times in our lives, you know what? God, with his grace, come on now, God, with his mercy, many of you, you know, could tell stories of children or grandchildren that, man alive, if it had just been a second later or if it had been, somebody hadn't noticed or, you know, and the shadow of death passed over them. What does that mean? It means that they were so close to death for just a little bit, maybe even just a moment, that death's shadow passed over them. And so the shadow of death is a time, time and or place where death is so close that it casts a shadow over an individual or family. I think that many of us will get to heaven and not even realize there were times when we were in the shadow of death and we had no idea, we had no comprehension, but God stepped in, the grace of God prevented something, just rescued us. Hey, you know what, folks, I read a little article this week, it was kind of interesting, but it was about people. Remember 9/11 when the two planes slammed into the Twin Towers? But it was a kind of a summary of some people that should have been in the tower that day, but something happened that prevented them from being there or made them late enough so that by the time they got there, they'd already been hit. And I mean everything from a lady spilling coffee on her blouse and having to be delayed to go back in and change to somebody that all of a sudden had a sick child and couldn't find anybody to come in and help with the sick child so she could come to work. So she called in and said, I've got somebody, but I'm going to be a little late. One person got stuck in traffic. Another person got in a traffic accident. By the way, if we talked about any of those things, they don't seem like good things, do they? And yet, in hindsight, it's what saved every one of these people's lives. And so maybe we ought to remember that the next time life doesn't go exactly as we hoped it would, or we maybe get off to a rough start, or something like spilling coffee all over myself, and now, are you kidding me, I'm going to be late now. And hey, aren't you, I think maybe when we get to heaven, and we'll have an opportunity to see how many times that God just simply said, hey, what you thought was a bad thing is the very thing that I used to prevent you from facing death. And probably don't know how many times we've been in the shadow of death. And so think about that. And I got to thinking, because there's several things, just truths I want to give you tonight. And I think, well, even though I could go to the 20 different verses, we could go, I'll reference some of them. But I want to stay mostly in Psalms 23, because I believe that all of us ought to be prepared for this place. It's a place, notice that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so how do you prepare now while you're living for the valley of the shadow of death? Well, let me give you some real practical things, okay? How about this? Let's start in verse 1. Number 1, make the Lord your shepherd. Make the Lord your shepherd. You want to be ready for that day? Well, the first thing that you need to do is you need to become a sheep if you're going to be ready for death. And you want to make the Lord your shepherd. So have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know for sure that you're born again tonight. And hey, let's all stop a minute and go back and revisit that moment in our lives. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. Shouldn't be something that bothers anybody. Think about this. That's truly saved. And so it's good for us every once in a while just do a personal checkup and just say, hey, you know what? I wasn't relying on myself. I wasn't relying on my good works. I wasn't relying on church membership. I wasn't relying on baptism. I put my faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone and his finished work on Calvary's cross. And so you first have to become a sheep before you can enlist the help of the shepherd. But you know what? There's some sheep, some people that I believe are truly born again, and they still haven't made the personal decision. And it is a personal decision. Did you see what God had David write here? The Lord is my shepherd. Hey, David had to make that choice. He had to make a personal choice in his life that he was going to let God be his shepherd. Now, think about that shepherd-sheep relationship, what he was saying. He was saying this, by the way, it requires some humility. I'm the sheep, he's the shepherd, okay? I'm to follow, he's to lead. And so everybody has to at some point, doesn't have to, but you'd be wise to at some point make that decision in your life. You have to decide, listen to this, to let the Lord shepherd you. And I believe that this is the ultimate test of trust. Think about that, trust. Why is it some people just can't let go of the steering wheel of their life? Why is it that they can't just let God lead? Why is it that they're always trying to control or manipulate every single situation in their life? And honestly, I believe it boils down to a very simple word, but important word, and that's a matter of trust. You know, some folks just don't seem to feel like they can trust the Lord with that type of power in their life, that type of veto power in their life, to be willing to follow him and let him take the lead in their life. But remember Proverbs chapter 3, folks, so good for us. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Now that's the challenge, because a lot of times, well, I'll trust him in this area, and I'll trust him in this area, and I'll trust him in this area, but Lord, this is mine, and this is mine. I got to make these things happen. I can't let go of these things. Boy, it's a great day when we can just say, trust in the Lord with all my heart. All right, Lord, you know what? You've got all the areas of my life. I'm just turning it over to you. And lean not into thine own understanding, in all thy ways. So all thine heart, all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He shall direct thy paths. A beautiful picture of the shepherd leading the sheep there. He shall direct thy path. So very simple truths tonight, but I hope it'll be an encouragement. Number one, make the Lord your shepherd. How do you prepare for the valley of the shadow of death? Decide right now that you're going to let him be your shepherd. Number two, let him lead you through life. Let him lead you through life. I think sometimes we want the Lord to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with us. But you know what? We don't really trust. Listen, we want him at that moment of death, but we're, again, I'm kind of a repeat of what we just said, but do we want him leading in life? You know, so if you let him lead you in life, you know, look at verse 2 and 3. Well, what can I expect if I really do this, preacher? What can I expect if I really let him lead me? Well, this don't sound too bad to me. Look at verse 2 and 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Hey, if you're leading your life, let me ask you, how's it going? How are you doing? This don't sound all so bad. Well, we're going to get down to the valley of the shadow of death. I know that. But I just want to kind of remind all of us because, folks, goodness sakes, you know, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. Now, if we let God be our shepherd, let me tell you what the majority of our life will be. And we need to just acknowledge this because, folks, it's amazing to me how good God is to us. Most all of the time. I mean, listen, he's good all the time. But and how much he protects us. We just talked about that. And how much he insulates us. And then he asks us to go through one thing. And we become so hyper-focused on that. And next thing you know, when we're talking to somebody, how are you doing? Oh, man. Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Then we launch into this one thing. Listen, that happened last week, okay? That happened in about 3 minutes. And we had 167 hours and 57 minutes. but oh, man, how'd your week go? You ever ask somebody? And one thing they go to is the one thing that went wrong that week. And I just kind of want to say, yeah, verse 4 is coming, but let's not overlook verse 2 and 3. Because I'm glad I've let the Lord be my shepherd. You know what the majority of my life has been? Come on, think about it. Here it is. He making me to lie down in green pastures. I didn't do bad of a deal. He leadeth me beside what kind of waters? Pray for me, preacher. I'm going through a storm. All right, I'll pray for you if you're going through a storm. I mean it. I'm not going to diminish it. But while you're going through the storm, don't forget the still waters. It's not like your whole life's been a storm. And if we're not careful, come on, help me out here. If we're not careful, we get so ultra-focused on the one burden or the one thing that God's asked us to kind of have to live with or the one bad thing that happened sometime in our past 40 years ago and we still are fixated on it. Man, alive. Well, you know what? Following the shepherd's a good life. It's a good life. And, man, there's a lot of good in it. So if we're going to complain, maybe we shouldn't be allowed to make one complaint until we make 10 praises, and we praise the Lord 10 times before we complain one time. He maketh me, he restoreth my soul. How many times has the Lord come alongside you, even after he's asked you to go through a difficult time, and just minister in a sweet and special way, and just kind of restore, come on, soul. Soul's made up of the mind, the heart, and the will. Just restore your mind, restore your emotions. Reset your will, your decision-making process, causing you to learn things from what he's caused you to go through. Even the things that we would say are bad things, honestly, come on, we still have Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to him that loved God and to him that are called according to his purpose. And so God sometimes, yeah, makes us lie down, and he often leads us beside still waters, and God always leads us, always. Let's not pass that last one before I go on. Folks, listen to me. If you're walking in the paths of unrighteousness, you're not following the shepherd. Okay, did you see that? He made sure that he added this. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The reputation of the shepherd is at stake here. So don't ever cast a shadow on the reputation of the shepherd. You know, if you went off into sin, it wasn't because God led you there. If you made a sinful decision, it wasn't because the Holy Spirit. Boy, be careful about that. I don't know where this whole line is about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, but I've heard the Holy Spirit be blamed for a lot of tomfoolery and sinful decisions in people's lives. Be careful. Hey, if you follow the Lord and you let him be your shepherd, you're always going to be walking in the paths of righteousness. And so, number one, make the Lord your shepherd. Number two, let him lead you through life. All right, how about this one? This is good. Number three, take comfort in knowing that this is not the first valley the Lord has walked with you through. I know that's a little long, but let me say it again. Take comfort in knowing that this is not the first valley the Lord hath walked you through. Okay, so we're talking about the valley of the shadow of death. Well, folks, listen to me. You know, I'm talking about the end of our life. I'm talking about when it's the real deal. I'm talking about when death is there and it's casting a shadow and it's our time. Come on, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. And you know what? How do you get through that valley of the shadow of death, preacher? You know, how do you get through it? Well, I think one of the things that's helpful, going to be helpful in that day, is it's not the first time he's asked me to walk through a valley. Now you think about that. Let's just stop and ponder that a minute, you know. And he's never asked me to walk through a valley by myself. And every one of us can go back through and we can say, you know what? God asked me to go through this valley, and you know what? He got me through it. And God watched me to go through this valley, and he got me through it. And he asked our family to go through this valley, and he got me through it. And he asked me to go through this valley. And all of a sudden, at the end of our lives, he's going to forsake us? No, he's not. No, he's not. You know what? He was with us at every other valley. Why wouldn't we think that he's going to be with us in this valley? I think that life's valleys prepare you for the valley of the shadow of death. You know, he gave me saving grace the day I got saved. He's given me living grace all through this life. I don't think he's going to forsake me at the end and not provide the dying grace. You know, folks, can I just say this? I think you'll agree. Valleys do more to strengthen our faith than mountaintops. I've built a lot of confidence in the Lord just because he's asked me to go through a number of valleys. As a pastor, you walk through your own valleys, but a lot of times, as a pastor, you also walk people through their valleys. And I've just walked through probably a little bit more than my share of valleys. And, you know, I was talking to somebody. Somebody asked me about Pastor Guy Solaric. He's going to be the one closing out our Bible conference on Wednesday night. He pastors the Crossroads Baptist Church up in Indianapolis, outside of Indianapolis. And Brother Solaric is such a good man. You're going to enjoy him so much. I'm excited for you to interact with him, to hear him preach. You're going to be blessed. But somebody was asking, well, how did you get to know him? And it was actually Brother Solaric that provided housing for me and my wife the very first time I went through CAR T treatment, and I had to stay within a certain number of miles of the hospital for the next 30 days, and I had to go in every single day to get my blood work done to make sure that the numbers were staying right. And you know, I don't go through a lot of the explanation of it, but you know, the CAR T folks, it's a process that before they give you the CAR T cells, they kind of take out a type of a white blood cell, not just any white blood cell, but one that's called a T cell. And what they do then is they have to collect a certain number of these T cells. And you know, it's kind of like going through dialysis, I guess, because they've got your blood coming out here and your blood coming back in here, and they're spinning it, and they're trying to isolate these T cells. And then as soon as they get a bag full of them, a little small bag, there's a courier waiting outside the door. They take it. They package it. He drives it to the airport. They fly it to Utah City. Utah City. Am I saying that right? Salt Lake City. Okay, I knew I wasn't right. Salt Lake City. And then they weaponize your own white blood cells, these T cells. And then it takes about 3 weeks, and they bring them back, and then they put them back into your body. And now these cells have been weaponized to attack the cancer. All right. Now you know about as much as I do about it. And But before they put it in there, your body, if they don't kill your immune system, your body will see those cells and think that they're foreign, and they will attack those cells. So they have to destroy your, that's why I was isolated for 30 days. They have to completely destroy your immune system. And so you have to, after they do this and then they reintroduce it, you have about 7 days in the hospital that are pretty rough. And then we move to the apartment. And I was thinking about this. I'm just sharing this with you. But you know what? First day I was there, you know, one of the things me and Cheryl's really tried to do is, you know, I try to walk. And I don't care how far down you get. You're going to get better if you get on your feet. You're not going to get better if you don't get on your feet. And you don't feel like it. You don't want to walk. So the first day, it was just all we could do to get to the car, get from the car to the apartment, and then just sit and just kind of recoup. The next day, it's like, okay, let's go around the parking lot, okay, of the church. All right, nobody was there. A couple of cars, I think, pastor, maybe somebody else. And so I'm holding on to my wife, her hand, her arm, very romantic. No, not really. I was holding on to her to keep from falling down. And you know, I'm just talking about, you know what? And literally, we take about a half lap, and I cheat and head back to the apartment door, and it's all I can do to get there. And I sit there after I get done, and I am just, hey, you think about that, you know? What I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. Come on. That may not be your story, same thing, but it may not even been physical, but everybody here's been through valleys where God's just taking you in some area of your life down to nothing. Okay? And you know what? He walked you through it. And the second day, we tried it again. And the third day, we tried 30 days of this. You know, by about the 10th day, 12th day, I was making a couple, three laps. And about the last 5 or 6 days, we're making 15, 20 laps. And hey, Jesus led me all the way. That's what I'm going to say at the end of my life. He led me all the way. Okay? And if he led me through that valley, and we've gone, I could sit here and tell you more. You could say, come on, we could open it up and everybody could share. But everybody in here has been through valleys. So you know what valleys do? They prepare us. And you know what? God didn't forsake me, and God was with me. And God was there, and God helped me, and God got me through it. Well, why do I think this last valley is going to be any different? And so take comfort in that. Think about that. If he did not forsake you in the previous valleys, I don't think he's going to forsake you in the last valley. Number four, understand that this valley is part of life's journey. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I often say to our young people, dying is a part of living. Dying is a part of living. Man, I don't know about you, but I'd like to go into rapture. Can I get an amen? All right. I would love that. I hope it happens tonight. And we got bragging rights in heaven, you know. That we missed that. We didn't have to walk through that valley of the shadow of death, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of folks. Mom and Dad was hoping to go into rapture together. How many times I hear them say, well, we're going to go at the same time. We're going to go into rapture together. And it didn't. That wasn't God's time, and it wasn't his will. But folks, you know what? Dying's a part of living. I already quoted this, but Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And don't ever get mad. Young people, listen to me. Don't ever get mad about somebody dying. Don't ever get bitter at God because somebody dies. Okay? I've talked to men that have been out of the will of God for decades because they got mad because God took their wife or God took one of their children or something like that. I mean, they're holding a grudge against God, been out of the will of God and holding a grudge against. Well, wait a minute, stop, okay? All right, listen, not only is dying a part of living, but can we say it plain? Dying is the consequences of sin. So why are we mad at God? Okay, the wages of sin is, okay, I mean, that's it. So you know what? You know, don't get mad at God. God made a perfect place. God made paradise. You know, God made perfect people. And it wasn't God that brought death into this world. It was man that brought death into this world. And I just wanted to put that in the back of your mind somewhere. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And so the wages of sin is death. Death is just part of living. And you know what? It's the last chapter of our existence, and it's part of the consequence of our sin. So understand that this valley is part of life's journey. Let me give you last couple. Number five, remember, you will not have to walk it alone. Oh, I want to take a moment on this. Remember that you will not have to walk it alone. And if you look in Psalms 23 there, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why do we not have to fear evil? Look at those. I think you ought to underline them if you don't have them. For thou art with me. Okay, remember, you don't have to walk it alone. Who is this? The Lord? Who is this that's going to walk through this valley with me? Well, listen, the one who defeated death. The one who defeated death is going to walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that. The one who rolled the stone away and came out of that empty tomb. Okay, the one who said this, I am the way, the truth, and the... You know, it's an amazing thing, folks. Again, we read these verses a lot of times at funerals, but I'm so comforted by 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the closing verses. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible... That's what we're being carried around in now, folks. These bodies are corruptible. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal, that's what we have, mortal bodies, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Listen, death is swallowed up in victory. And then these questions. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory, who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Same one. Come on, my shepherd, the good shepherd. Same one's walking through that valley with me. I don't think it's something that you ought to be frightened of. If Jesus is with you, then you know what? You're going to be just fine. By the way, let me just throw this one at you. Number six, this valley is not a destination. I love this. This valley is not a destination. It is a portal that leads to heaven. Okay, did you see that? Yea, though I walk not to the valley of the shadow of death, but through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then verse number six, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, now. I like this, okay? So Jesus is walking with me, beside me, through the valley of the shadow of death. But there's two folks that are following behind me. They're called goodness and mercy. And so, okay, now I've got Jesus walking beside me through the valley of the shadow of death. I've got goodness and mercy following behind me. And what's in front of me? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this valley is not a destination. It's a portal that leads to heaven. It's not something you walk to. It's something you walk through. And then at the last minute, I jotted this one down. We'll send you out of here with it. All right, number seven. Watch this. There could be no shadow if there was not a light. There could be no shadow if there was not a light. There could be no shadow if there was not a light. And then I'll read you some of the verses about the shadow of death. Think about this. Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Amos chapter 5. Think about this verse. Pretty interesting. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. And turneth the shadow of death into the morning. And then the two verses referred to in the New Testament talking about the shadow of death. Think about what it says. Thou shalt, by the way, Zacharias prophesying about John the Baptist's son when God gave him his voice back after the child was born. He said this in Luke chapter 1, closing verses. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And again in Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, listen, this is our closing words, light is sprung up. Light is sprung up. And so, you know what? Thank God for Psalms 23. And thank God that we don't have to walk alone when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the service. Lord, bless the truths that have been shared tonight. We pray, God, that you would use them to minister our hearts, speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to have a better understanding. And thank you, Lord, for just being our shepherd. If there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, I pray tonight that they would receive you as their personal Savior. If there's a saved person here, and Lord, I understand sometimes this matter of trusting you, we all struggle with it from time to time, and I get that. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us in this matter of trust and just allowing you to be our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I pray, dear God, as we leave here tonight, every Christian could honestly say that before they leave the room tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for how you take care of us and provide for us. Lord, help us not to lose sight of all the wonderful good days because of some of the things that we must face and need to face. Thank you that in the valley, Lord, that's where we have our soul restored. And thank you for walking it with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.